Yeah, there was an airplane that they traveled away from Dayton to fly. Yeah, they went to North Carolina. Yeah. To Dayton. Yeah, after 13 years, it became clear to me that God was actually leading me elsewhere. So I was done teaching calculus and algebra 1, everybody's favorite subject. Who here loves math? Anybody besides me? Yeah. That's fantastic. That's fantastic. Who likes English? Yeah. I promise I'll be nice to you. It's okay, all right? It's okay for you guys to like English. I speak it as well, just not as good as you. All right, so what are we going to be doing this week? We're going to be kind of talking about some I am statements. They're really cool, but honestly, I want to share a little bit. I forgot one thing I was going to share with you. I like movies and books, all right, probably more than math. I know, math is pretty sweet, but how many of you guys enjoy, like, mystery movies and books? All right, how many of you, like me, really kind of go to the end of the book before you go to the beginning of the book? Anybody do that? Oh, come on. Right? Now, why do I like to do that? Okay, well, I like to actually see the big idea. I want to see, like, what is the purpose of this whole thing? And then I go back, and I'm like, all right, why did the author put that detail in this story? Seriously, I go back and I examine it. Like, every single movie, I have to do this. Like, Avengers, like, threw me off big time because there were so many things. I'm like, why did they do that? Why did they do this? Why did they do that? And it wasn't until Endgame, right, that I actually was like, oh, that's who Iron Man is. That was a joke. All right, fine. All right, that was my best joke. I'll stick to math from here on out. But honestly, like, I really enjoy seeing a big idea and then going back and seeing, like, how did everything lead up to that? Why was this that moment of decision? Why did the author choose to put that in the story over so many other things that could have actually happened? And so we're going to be looking at the book of John over this next week. And we're going to be looking at all of these Jesus statements that are, I am this, I am this. And what I want to do with you today is I want to take you to the end of John, and I want you to see the purpose of the book of John. Because I think if we can understand the purpose of the book of John, then we can go backwards and look at each of these things, each of these statements, and determine that's why John put that there. That's why that's so important for me to know. So if you have your Bible, I want you to go to John chapter 20. We're going to look at the end first. Now, don't tell anybody because it kind of feels like cheating. But trust me, it's not. It's not cheating. So what has happened here? All right, so as you're getting to John 20, here's some of the stuff that's actually happened here. So Jesus has gone through his entire life. John has kind of recorded it. And you see that Jesus has just died, he has just been buried, and he has risen again. All right, so now Jesus is like, I'm going to prove to all of these people that I have actually raised from the dead. And so he's going around showing himself to people. Well, he shows himself to all 10 of the disciples, but there's 11, right? So there's one that he did not show himself to. So all 10 are like, yeah, Jesus is alive. And the other guy's like, I didn't see him. Imagine what that would be like, right? When all of your friends got to see this person and you're like, you didn't see him because I didn't see him. That was awful. But that's where we were. This guy named Thomas was not there when Jesus showed up. He wasn't there, all right? So he has some doubts. He's like, that seems kind of far-fetched to me that someone would die, be buried, and rise again. Well, it just turns out that while he's kind of sitting there with the disciples again, all of a sudden Jesus does appear this time. And Jesus actually goes crazy with the amount of detail he shows Thomas. He's like, go ahead and put your finger right there. You feel that? Yeah, it's me. You feel that? You feel that? And so this doubting Thomas now has seen the risen Lord, has felt the holes in his hands and the piercing in the sides of Jesus, and he is now convinced that Jesus is God. And then we get to verse 28 of chapter 20 of the book of John, and listen to what it says. It says, Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." And then Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." I love that last line because, guys, that's us. Raise your hand if you have seen physically the risen Lord, and I'm not talking about a picture. Me neither, all right? So if we have believed because of the testimony that we have here, there is a special honor that Jesus wants to give to us, all right? So keep that in mind as we go throughout the book of John here. It continues in verse 30. This is the statement, right? This is the whole reason that John put all of this teaching together. He says, Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. And so what is John trying to tell us here? What is he trying to tell us? He's saying, hey, Jesus did a lot of stuff. I imagine Jesus ate, right? He probably slept. I'm guessing he woke up a few times. John doesn't record all of that. So why didn't he record every single detail of Jesus' life from beginning to end? Because John has a point he wants to make. He wants people to understand this specific thing about Jesus. And what is it? There are actually two. The first is that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God. Boom, number one. Every single thing that John includes in his gospel, every single story you read in the book of John is meant to tell you that, hey, Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God. The Messiah is this person who is supposed to come, sent by God, to deliver the people Israel from their bondage. And their bondage was sometimes a nation, sometimes their own sinfulness. But God had been telling them over and over, I'm going to rescue you, I'm going to rescue you, I'm going to rescue you, and it's going to be through this Messiah guy. It's going to be through this Messiah guy. And so John wants us to understand Jesus is it. He is the one who has come to save them from their bondage. The second one, it's by believing you may have life in his name, in the name of Jesus. And so that now, presently, if you choose to believe now, you will have a life that is different than life without believing. Life believing in Jesus is different than life not believing in Jesus. And he wants you to have the life that is believing in Jesus. And so every single passage that we're going to look at, we're going to answer these two questions. All right? So write these down because you're going to see it over and over and over again. How does this show Jesus as the Messiah, the Son of God? How does this passage, how does this statement show us that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God? And the question number two, what kind of life does believing produce in me? What is this other life like? What is it like? What kind of life does believing produce in me? One of the things that my students would always get mad at me for is that I would go on and they're like, I'm still writing down. So I'm trying to delay. I know, seriously, no teacher has ever done that, ever, except for me. I'm pretty confident because that's what all the students said. You're the worst. Stop writing. I'm trying to catch up. You guys are doing great. I see pencils moving. I literally just had a flashback to calculus class. That's what I just had. Anybody writing down a derivative, an integral? Sweet. Yeah, which one? Yeah. Nice, nice. X sine X is my favorite. What's yours? Just a power rule derivative. All right, yeah. Power rule, man. Yeah, so you know about the Optimus Prime in calculus. Yeah, the Optimus Prime in calculus. Yeah, if you don't know what that is, someday, take calculus. It'll teach you. I'm not going to tell you now. It'd ruin the whole thing. Okay? The Optimus Prime of mathematics. All right, I think I'm done stalling, okay? That was fantastic. I appreciate that. So now we know why John wrote this book. We know why he's recorded what he's recorded. I want to go to the beginning now. All right, I'm ready. Now we can begin looking at all the details and be able to say, I get it. That's why that's in the story. So if you're with me, go to your Bibles, turn now all the way to John chapter 1, one of my favorite passages in all of Scripture. And we're doing it on the first day, which is fantastic. Listen to what John says, and then we'll go back and kind of look at some details here. He says, in the beginning was the Word. Where else have you heard in the Bible the word beginning? Genesis, the beginning. Good job. Right, yeah. Absolutely. In the beginning, John is actually in this book kind of re-going through Genesis a little bit. And I don't want to go into every detail about how he does that, but just kind of imagine and listen as you go. Like John is re-talking about Genesis, but with Jesus in mind. He says, in the beginning was the Word. And what does Word mean? Why does he put Word in? This is crazy. Are you ready? In the Greek life, okay, so these are these guys who lived like 2,000 years ago. The Greeks were like super thinky all the time, right? Like they walked around like, thinking. Like a ball would be in front of them and they'd be like, never would I kick a ball. That would be heresy. I will just think because that's what I am. And so what they believed was that there was this order in the universe, okay? This order. And this order created meaning to everything. You'd be like, why that piece of grass? Word, right? They'd be like, why is your hair parted on the left and not the right? Word. This is what the Greeks did for fun, okay? And so John is saying, in the beginning was this word, all right? And all the Greeks would have been like, oh, can you do that for me? Oh, in the beginning was the Word. Whew. So this order, this way, meaning behind the universe, and the Word was with God. And they're like, oh. So this Word didn't create itself. There was a God who was with this order and this meaning in the universe. And then it continues, and the Word was God. And they're like, oh, man, no way. Greeks would have been done after that first verse of John. They would have been like, I'm out. That's too much. They will think about this for the rest of their lives. For us, we're like, oh, okay, that's cool. He's saying that God is the very essence of the entire universe. He is the order of everything. He is the meaning in everything that is life. That's pretty intense. And then we get to verse 2. He was with God in the beginning. Wait. He? What do you mean he? Who are my English people? English. What did John just do by writing he? What kind of thing is he? It's a It's a verb. No, it's not a verb. It's a noun. It's a pronoun, which means it's a person. And they're just like, now you're telling me that this meaning of the entire universe was actually a human being? And John's like, yeah. Mind exploding. All right, now I have to go faster. Through him, all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. Not John who wrote this, but a different John, right? Crazy John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. He was kind of like, hey, there's a light. And then everybody's like, yeah, you're right, John. Number 9, it says, the true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, I'm going to stop again. He was in the world. John just said something absolutely crazy. He's like, you know this essence, this meaning in everything that is life? That thing just put on flesh and began living. Whoa. It's like the internet became a person and walked among people. That's what John says, right? The order, the meaning of everything in life just put on flesh and became a person and started walking around. Whoa, John. These are some pretty incredible statements. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him, yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, again, we see that word believe, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, or a husband's will, but born of God. And then I didn't put this up, but I'm going to read verse 14 anyway. The word, whoa, became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. So how does this show us that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God? Number one, Jesus was and was with God in the beginning, present before creation. Creation, according to John, happened through Jesus. That's a pretty big God statement right there. Creation was through him. So not only was he there in the beginning, he actually was the one who went through the creation process. The third one, he's a source of life, John says. He's the source of all life. Whew. That's a pretty big statement. And then the fourth one, there was this wacky desert guy who testified about him. And this is interesting. In Isaiah 43:4, in Malachi 3:1, and Malachi 4:5-6, these are prophets from long ago. They're all like, hey, there's going to be a guy just like Elijah who's going to be like, prepare the way. And now for those who like to nerd out a little bit, who is Elijah? Well, Elijah was a prophet who spoke to Israel when Israel was at its worst moment. See, Israel was a country, but another country came in, attacked it, and was like, I conquered you. And then they took everybody, and they're like, you go there. And so everybody had to leave their country. So all of Israel is not living in Israel. All of Israel is living over here in Iraq. And they're like, oh, woe is me. Right? Imagine if all of us like got conquered and they took us to Canada. Ugh. Right? Imagine living in Canada for like 30 years. And they're just like, oh, life is miserable. It's so cold. So cold. Come to ice camp. All right. It's so cold. But who is Elijah? Elijah was a prophet during that time. And Elijah goes, guys, we're halfway through. We're halfway through. God's going to bring us back. Okay? So get excited. God's going to bring us back. And so all these prophets are like, guys, there's going to be another prophet like Elijah who's going to be like, here comes the Lord. Guess what Wacky John goes out in the desert and does? Guys, I'm eating locusts, and I'm telling you, make way, right? Make the path straight. The Lord is coming to deliver, just like he did in Elijah's day. It's going to happen again. It's going to happen again, and through the Messiah. So that's pretty good evidence that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God. What about the second question? What kind of life does believing produce in me? This is huge. This is what John says in the very beginning. He says, without Jesus, we are as dark as the darkness before anything was created. Notice the allusion to Genesis all over there again. He says, before Jesus came, and he's talking about Genesis again, what was there before God created? It was just darkness. It's just darkness. And so John is saying, hey, without Jesus, we are as dark as the darkness before anything was created. But then he says something else. He says, if we believe in Jesus, we are born anew by God. In other words, guys, if you believe in Jesus, there is a life that is different from life without believing in Jesus. There is a new life available for you. Now, we used to play all sorts of games when we were young. One of my favorite games was playing Capture the Flag in our old church, right? Because it was a really old church, so it had all these weird rooms in it, right? And it was just kind of this real strange layout, but we would be running around there all night. One of my favorite things to do was to lure somebody into a room, right? And then start flicking the lights on them, right? Because we're playing at like 3 o'clock in the morning, right? We're overhyped on caffeine. And so we're just like, ah! And they're like, ah, I hate this nerd, right? This is what they would say about me. And it was fantastic because when we do that, when the lights flicked, they're like, I can see you. And then I turn on the lights and they're like, ow. And then I turn them off and they're like, I can't see you anymore. I'm like, ah, right? And that was the whole point of me luring in there, not to get a flag or anything, just to annoy them. But this is true, and I'm sure you've experienced this before, right? If it is really, 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 really dark, and then all of a sudden your mom wakes you up for school and opens up the blinds and all the light comes in, what happens? You die. Wow. It's awesome. I mean, that's awful. I'm so sorry. Yeah. No, it hurts, doesn't it? Like, it literally hurts. Like, there is real pain because our eyes have adjusted to the darkness, and the light is just kind of like, ow! Light, ew, it hurts. You see, your brain basically forgot what sunlight is like. Your brain has basically forgot what sunlight is like, and it got kind of comfortable in the darkness. It's kind of like, okay, it's dark. I can roll with darkness. All right, I'll adjust. Brain says this is what it's supposed to be like. John is saying, guys, we're living in darkness. We're living in this darkness. You have gotten used to this darkness way too long. A light is coming. A light is coming. And with that light is going to be a life that you don't even recognize, because you're so comfortable and you're so used to the darkness. Some of you here today have never met Jesus. I'm here to tell you that there is a whole nother life out there that is so much brighter than anything you have ever experienced before. You don't know this light, this other life is even possible You don't know what it feels like because you've never experienced it. You think you know what life is, but until you meet Jesus, you don't know what this life is like, and it's good. And so it's kind of like experiencing a band for the first time. I don't know if this has ever happened to you, but you're like, man, where have these guys been my whole life? Everything has changed, right? You're like living around and you're like, da-da-da-da, 21 Pilots. And you're like, whoa, life is better. It's kind of like that. Do you guys still listen to 21 Pilots? No. Oh, jeez. Okay, there goes that whole thing. What band do you listen to? Skillet. Okay. Still, man, I saw them in live like 25 years ago. All summer, I went like 3-4 times. Skillet, yeah, 25 years ago. I'm old. All right, let me try it again. It's like you had this whole band, right? And you'd be like, I don't know what Skillet's like. And then all of a sudden, you're like, Skillet! And you're like, whoa! It was kind of like that. Was that better? Did you get it with Skillet? I asked for a band, and you gave me Skillet, and then I tried it with Skillet, and that wasn't good enough. All right, fine. We'll stick with 21 Pilots. I mean, two guys making this whole music. That's pretty sweet, right? Like, two guys making all that music, it's wild. And they're from, one's from Ohio. Go Ohio. All right. But basically, this is the point. If you begin to believe in Jesus, you're going to experience a life you didn't even know existed, and it's going to be way better than the life that you've known. It might hurt a little bit, because sometimes when our minds and eyes are exposed to light, it's kind of like, oh. But then it gets so much better, because then you can actually like see and feel. And so my offer to you this week is to get to know Jesus a little bit and experience that life, maybe for the first time. Some of you here today have slid back into your old life. Maybe you were walking in the light. You were believing in Jesus, but then you started to live like he doesn't exist anymore. So you go around not really thinking about who he is and what he's done, and so you're basically living without him, and so you've gone back into the darkness, and you've gotten comfortable there. As good as the light was, you've forgotten. If that's you, then I hope and pray that this week you'd come back into the light. You'd be re-exposed to the life of Jesus Christ, and that you'll want to continue walking forward in that. And if you're someone who's like, man, I'm in the best spiritual place I've ever been before. I'm living with Jesus, and life is amazing. Not that everything is good all the time. It's not. But you know what? God is with me, and I'm living this life that's incredible even when times are awful. Then I have some good news for you. I want to encourage you that there is still yet more to come. The greatest of life that you might be experiencing now, there's more. There is no limit to God's light, and your journey has just begun. The more you know Jesus, the more you know about what's available to you as a child remade by God. The more life you get, the further the darkness flees from you. The more you enjoy the life that God desires for you to have. John was very intentional about starting his book in this way. He's preparing you, just like he's preparing me and everyone else who reads it, for what is about to happen. As you begin to meet Jesus, to believe in Jesus and all that he is, prepare to experience a life you didn't even know existed, but has always been available to you. That's our heart and our prayer this week as we begin to go through the I Am's. Tomorrow, man, we're going to talk about how Jesus is the bread of life. The bread of life. It's a big thing. It's going to be awesome. I'm praying that as you hear it, you'd experience Jesus in a new way. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, I just thank you for every single one of these campers here. I thank you for all of the staff who have devoted themselves this summer to spending time. And I just thank you for the honor and the privilege it is to share your word. I pray, Lord, that your book would do exactly what it was intended to do, that we would all be convinced that you, Jesus, are the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing in you, we would begin to experience a life that we didn't even know existed, a life full of lights, even amidst the dark culture that we live in. Let this week be one of experiencing you in a new way. Enlighten our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. So at this time, okay, yeah, I'm doing something, or there's something back up there. All right, I'll read it because I like to read. Nighttime meds in back chapel. Everyone meet at the gym at 9:40. Have a wonderful evening, folks.